Sure, thank you, Ben. I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed just from that worship, just the Lord's faithfulness. Just those songs are just so amazing, just being able to sing of His faithfulness. I think, we could almost just stay and just do that the whole morning. It would just be so incredible. And I'm just, I was the whole time just reminded how yesterday I was spending some time with a good friend of mine, and we were just sharing story after story, just of the Lord's faithfulness and things that He's done in people's lives. And it's so important that we do that regularly, that we just reflect on what the Lord is doing and what He has done, just to really build up our faith. And the Lord is working the whole time, and He really loves us, and like was shared earlier, and He's faithful. And I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed by His faithfulness at the moment, but we'll get focused soon. And I just really felt for the guys that are sort of the morning people. And welcome to my city slickers who came to join us. I really felt the Lord wanting to encourage you just in terms of your faithfulness in discipleship. I've really this whole week felt His heart that He's so proud of the way in which you disciple. And He wants to say you've discipled well. Just your faithfulness in standing alongside each other through the highs, through the lows, and really just being there for one another and loving no matter what. And I just felt His heart really wanting to commend you in that, and saying that don't lose hope. The promises that I've given of revival and the harvest, I've not forgotten them. I'm just teaching you to disciple well. And you've been obedient, and I'm proud of you. And I actually got the word super compensation. Now, those that are in the sports world will understand what that means. And really what it is, it's when you put the body under an incredible load and an incredible pressure. And we've had quite a load this year, Pastor D. But it's amazing. It's an adventure. But when that is followed with strategic rest, the body responds by being stronger and able to handle so much more. And so the Lord wants to encourage you and just to Sabbath well, okay, to find your Sabbath. That's something that I've always wondered what it is. And we've all got that special place or that thing which really gives us great pleasure where we just are with the Lord. You know, for me, I discovered that tagging peaks above Musenberg, and I was running the one day and I just felt the Lord impress on my heart, this is your Sabbath. This is a place where you're just really at rest with me. And we've all got that place where it can become a thing which we love too much, but to really steward it as a place of rest and to steward our Sabbath well so that the Lord can keep us strong. Okay. So I think, let's rather pray first. Before I start. Lord, we just stand in awe this morning of your goodness, of your love, of your faithfulness. I just want to thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness to us as a body and to each one of us individually, Lord God. Just, we don't have time to share all the testimonies, Lord God, but I'm sure there are many. And Lord, we just want to just celebrate every testimony in this year so far, Lord God. And our Lord God, you've always been so in control. Lord God, thank you that we know that we can trust you. Thank you that we can know that you are good. We thank you, Lord God, that you never fail us. Your love never fails. Lord God, and we just, Lord God, this morning we want to make much of you. We want to make your name great, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord God. Lord God, this time as we spend just delving into your word, Lord God, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just come and just release the Father's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the message I have for you this morning is just one word. So if you remember nothing else of what I say, just remember this one word, and that is stay. Sometimes in the kingdom we do a lot and we have a lot of doings, but I think the most important place where the fruit really comes is in the staying. That place where you really just stay in the Lord's presence. Megan shared it so beautifully, where that tree just rooted in the Lord's presence. Just stay connected to his body. Staying in that discipleship relationship. Staying in what the Lord has called you to. Just staying, whether it's going well or whether it's going bad, or whether you're seeing fruit manifest or results or whatever was happening, but it's just that place of really staying and not walking away. Because I think the kingdom is not a, we've heard it many times, it's not a sprint, it's an endurance race. And you can show that next slide. That's my favorite. It's an endurance race. It's an ultra. And I think my heart this morning is just to, in the staying, just impart just endurance and faith to you guys, and to fill those lamps that have got empty, that I really trust that your lamps will just get full again with oil this morning. Right? Because it is an endurance, but not an endurance race, I think, because it's long and it takes a long time. I think it's an endurance race because it's just so unpredictable. There's something about these things. You cannot prepare fully for what is going to happen. Anything can happen on the day, and you got to be ready for it. But I think that's what makes it such an adventure. And that's what makes the kingdom such an adventure. Liana shared it last week, you know, that place where you're just expectant for anything that can happen in a day, what the Lord wants to do, and you're ready to go with it. Something which the Lord has really been really working in me at the moment is just getting back into that place like a little kid where you really wake up in the morning and you, what's today's adventure? What adventure are we going on today? You know, that's all they're thinking about. They're not worried about who's going to pack the snacks and who's going to pay for the snacks. There will be snacks, they know. And it will be fun. And how are we going to get there? They're not worried about how we're going to get there. Who's going to put petrol in the car? Okay, they just like, what adventure are we going on today? And I know it often happens when we first come into that relationship with the Lord and we begin running with Him, then we're in that place. But then somehow we start overthinking it, and we start you know, trying to predict everything that's going to happen, and we lose that sense of adventure. And I'm sort of going on a journey. I want to encourage you to go on that journey as well, just to really restore that place of adventure. I was thinking it's like Pinky and the Brain. I don't know who knows the cartoon Pinky and the Brain. Parents, I don't know, is it like little Christian kids allowed to watch it? But it's for those who don't know, it's this cartoon about these two mice, these lab mice, and the one's like a real professor mice, and the other's this wild mice, Pinky. And it starts off every time where Pinky asks Brain, what are we going to do today? And then Brain says, same thing we do every day, Pinky, plan to take over the world. And then they go on this adventure to conquer evil. And to really trust to get to that place again of and that's what I'm trusting the Lord, it's a journey I'm on. Of really sitting with, like, Lord, what adventure are we going to go on today? And if you missed last week, then get Liana's sermon, where she really just shared epically around a lot of that as well. And so I'm really trusting to fuel you, to refuel you, okay, to continue on the race strong. This message was actually birthed out of a place where I was a little bit at the end of myself, and I was pretty much, Lord, I can't do it anymore. It's just taking too long. There's too many people that still need to come to know you, to salvation, and so many nations, and it's just too many people, too little time. Like, what's the point of it anyway? You know, and I was like, Jesus, so I'm being very honest here this morning. I can't do anything for anyone in any case. It's only you, Jesus, that can save them. So, and I actually got a little cheeky. I was like, Jesus, why don't you just come and just save everyone? Just, you can do it. Just come. just do it now. Like why not, you know? And then he just calmly responded to me, because I've chosen to use people to reveal myself, and I've chosen to use you to reveal myself. And that was, I had no response to that. And it's just God's heart towards us. He really wants to use his children to reveal his beauty and his glory and his love to the world. And all we really got to do is we just got to stay with him. We just got to stay with his plan. Even though it doesn't make sense, or it seems a little crazy, or we're not necessarily seeing the results, because we, as Puzzle shared earlier, we don't see everything that the Lord sees. But we just got to stay with him. We were sharing yesterday it's not about the results. It's about that place of staying with the Lord, that place in relationship that he's after. And sometimes we can get so stuck on the result, but he's after that place where we're with him, where we're seeking that adventure with him every day, and we just stay in that relationship with him. So I want to just share a few things for just helping you to stay when it just seems like, oh, Lord, what's the point? All right, are we actually going anywhere? And I want to start with the Song of Moses. The scripture's not actually on the slide, so it's quite long. It didn't fit on the slide. And I'm going to read it to you. But Moses probably, apart from the disciples, actually saw the death and resurrection of Christ. He probably saw the closest to the greatness of God's glory of the people in the Bible, to actually see a nation go through an ocean and be delivered. I mean, I don't know, if you do yourself a favor, just go stand down at the beach later this afternoon and just imagine that ocean parting and the whole of South Africa walking across to... I was thinking this morning, like, where would we walk to? And I was like, your Lord, Australia, that's very far. Arctic... I think I settled on Mauritius. I figured it was the closest. I don't know. I don't do geography. Yeah, and fortunately, where we live in South Africa, wherever we go, we're going to have quite a long walk. So, but the Lord has made us a fit, strong, healthy nation for a reason. So, all right, so it's going to be ultra marathon. I say the kingdoms are ultra marathon, right? So it's gonna be wild. But I mean, I was thinking, and it's also at night. We were talking earlier about surf skiing, Jason and I, and that ocean freaks. I've got a respect for the ocean. It's too scary for me being out there on the waves and stuff. And I mean, just imagine for yourself. Just take a moment. The Lord's given us imaginations for a reason, and just try and imagine this wall of water and how incredible it must have been. And it was also, if you look carefully at the story of what happened in the preparation for them crossing the Red Sea, it is in a sense a shadow of the crucifixion of Christ and Christ coming to be the sacrificial lamb for us, that we may pass through our Red Sea into freedom and into deliverance from the enemy and walk free. But we tend to forget so easily. And one thing that was incredible about Moses remembered how great God was. And I love it. It actually starts when, after they've come through the Red Sea, where Moses sings a song. I'm going to read that song, all right, where he reflects on and remembers and realizes how great God is. And I think some of us need to actually go home today and actually write your song of Moses, where you go back and you remember how great God is, and you reflect on how great God is, how big he is, how mighty he is. Read the Song of Moses, okay? I'm gonna actually read it to us now. Oh, but it's very small writing. I realize people are teasing me because I'm starting to do this. Okay, my brother and sister, but you know what they say? What you sow, you reap. I've been teasing my brother and sister. They're a lot older than me, and they started doing this, and now I'm reaping. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will, and I just, is that picture? Oh, there we go. You know, just imagine this in your mind. I want you to engage your imaginations. I will sing to the Lord, for he's highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Not the church, not the small group, but he, the Lord God Almighty, has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. Listen to this. By the blast of your nostrils, literally God just breathing. This is how big he is. The waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. That was not, God is bigger. But you blew with your breath, literally breathed, just breathed. And the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? Awesome in glory, working wonders. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. The Lord, he reigns forever and ever. He is mighty. And we need to remember that. Moses knew this. And that's why Moses, if you think about it, Moses stayed 40 years in a desert with people that moaned all day. But yet he loved. You can really, Moses really loved the Israelites, his people. He loved his people deeply. And he was faithful. And he faithfully followed the Lord all that time because he understood how big God was. He understood that God was bigger than the desert that they were in. And he understood the deliverance that God had brought them. He understood, Raina shared it, like just that place of who Christ is and what he did on the cross. Moses had a revelation of that. And that's what he held on to. And that's what fueled him. And that's what gave him the endurance to, no matter what, I'm going to stay with these people. Okay? Moses didn't always get it right. Okay? He didn't score too good on his last rock and the water test. But he had stayed with his God. He stayed at the burning bush. He stayed in the tabernacle. He stayed on the mountain. Okay? He stayed with the Lord in that desert. And that's why it says, the Lord spoke to Moses as a man speaks to a friend. The Lord himself buried Moses. And he's actually mentioned as being the greatest prophet. It says, no other prophet like Moses has arisen in Israel, whom the Lord spoke to face. And it's because Moses stayed. He just stayed, no matter what was going on. And I think what we really need right now, especially in our nation, is prophetic voices who will stay in the Lord's presence, in his word, in prayer, and keep singing how great our God is, no matter how big that desert looks. There's something about a song, I was thinking, like a speech is inspiring, but a song is more. It's a song's, yeah, in the heart, in the spirit. Matthew's getting, he's like nodding like crazy. Yeah, in front. I knew you'd love that, Matthew. It's just for you. Okay, Matthew's going to write us some songs of Moses. And It's you really have that revelation in your heart. So go spend time just gazing and reflecting on God's greatness. That's how you're going to get the endurance to continue. Okay? It says in Matthew 17, verse 20, that if we have faith like a grain of mustard seed, We will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for us. Okay. The disciples cannot make a mountain move. We cannot make a mountain move. God makes the mountain move. All right? But it's in the knowing who God is and that He's able to do it. Right? It's not about the size. Okay? We often, when we read that, we think mustard seed, so we only need little faith. It's not about, I said, it's not about the size of our faith, but about the size of our God. All right? If you have to put Tara's little boy, who was here up front, against Usain Bolt in a 100-meter race, okay, it does not take much faith to believe that Usain Bolt is going to win. All right? But it takes a lot of faith to believe. But I'm sure he's got great potential, Johan. He just needs to grow a bit taller, but I don't know the genes. you need a lot of faith to trust that his little boy is going to win. See, once you know how big God is and what He is capable of, And it's in you, it's in your spirit. You don't need to sit here and suck up faith. You just go and you speak to that mountain, you tell it to move. Okay. So that's the first point. Know the song of Moses. Sing the song, sing it. Next point is wrestle with the cross narrative. Okay. We need to regularly go and sit at the feet of Jesus and ask Him, what really happened at the cross? And really let it become revelation in our hearts. I think we come to salvation, the Lord does many things, but then we carry on running, but we never go and sit back and like, what does it really mean? This message that I'm sharing, what is it? What is this good news that I have? What am I really telling people? What am I really sharing with people? Is it real in my heart? Has it settled the revelation in my heart of what I've received at the cross? Okay? Paul is amazing in this. It's quite interesting. Paul didn't have the Gospels to tell him, a Bible to tell him this is what happened at the cross. Paul just had an encounter with Christ. But then he's the one who actually writes Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, where we see so much richness, where we know he really understood what salvation was. And it's quite interesting, if you look in Paul's life, there's these gaps. These gaps where he's gone for a couple of years, and then he's not really preaching, he's just like spending time with the different apostles who had walked with Christ. And we don't really know exactly what happened in those gaps. The word does not tell us. But I'm pretty sure there was a time where he was just staying in the Lord's presence and wrestling with Christ, what really happened at the cross. And receiving that revelation for himself. And that's why he can say, he says that he didn't receive a gospel preached by man, but he received it from Christ. He received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's quite interesting, if you read in Ephesians and Galatians, you see him really praying for the people he's ministering to, that they too would receive that revelation. Ephesians 1, he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give them, the church in Ephesus, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that their eyes of the understanding may be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of His calling? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand? Like, do you really know that you are righteous in Christ? Do you know that your sins are moved as far as the east is from the west? Do you know what it meant that Christ paid the price for all your sins? That you can stand righteous before the King without shame. Do you know what that really means? You need to wrestle it for yourself. The Lord actually took me on an interesting journey where He actually would not allow me to receive any revelation from podcasts. It was so weird. Like, I would go from one podcast to the next, and I'm like, there's nothing here. But the guy's preaching well, but there's nothing here. And I know the Lord did that on purpose for a season, because he wanted me to get in the Word and wrestle for myself at the feet of Jesus and ask him, Jesus, what happened at the cross? You reveal it to my spirit. And so what I want to leave with you at the end of this point is this. Next slide. Which is, guys. Okay, so firstly, we need to know how big our God is. Okay, so what about how big our faith is? It's how big our God is. And secondly, don't base your hope on a bumper sticker gospel. Right. It's easy. It's quick. No, you need to go stay in the Lord's presence and let him make the cross a reality in your heart and form the narrative of the cross that you know the good news you're sharing. And then the final point. It's to be in a place where we remain living on earth and in heaven. I almost said, thought it said, that's why at the moment there, it said living on earth and not in heaven. I'm like, that's not right. living on earth and in heaven. Okay, again, go listen to Liana's sermon from last week where she really touches a lot on this. And in Ephesians, it says, but God who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then this beautiful part. And raised us up together and made us sit together with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I think what often happens is disappointments, hope that's been deferred, just the anxieties of life cause that we come down from that place and we just, yeah, living just from what's happening in the natural and what's happening on the earth. And we struggle to have faith to believe that God can say what he's doing because we're just looking from here on the earth. We've left that place. We haven't really left it, but in our hearts we've left that place of really living from in the spirit, from being seated with Christ in the heavenly places, from looking from above, from the view that God has. Okay? You can only see if you're living just in the natural, you can only see what has already become manifest in the natural. You cannot see the promises of God that are still waiting to be manifest. You cannot see what God is seeing. You can only see what is already manifest on earth and what the natural eye can see. I remember the one time my mom was really not well. She was in hospital in ICU. And I was wrestling with the Lord and just in terms of why is she taking so long for it to get well? Because the Lord actually showed me a promise. I was praying. He said she will be well. And he showed me a couple of other things that he's going to do in our family. And I was like, Lord, what's happening? He says, the promise is there. It's just not manifest in the natural yet. And then I began, and then I went to the hospital and actually began to pray and say, Lord, manifest that promise that you've given in the natural. And I began to pray, and soon afterwards, my mom became well. But because I was in that place where I could see in the spirit, I had faith to trust that I would see it in the natural. So we need to be in that place. The Lord is, I did some incredible adventure the last while. You know, I was a bit frustrated and just in terms of what he's called me to do with work and stuff. And I was meditating on the scripture and then I was like, okay, Lord, I want to be seated in high places, in heavenly places, but I want to see from heaven what you see. And then he actually gave me an instruction and he said, I must go every day what I do as a job, those that don't know me, is I coach athletics and I coach youngsters out in Constantia in the afternoons. And he said, I must go down to the fields and walk the fields praying in the Spirit. And as I do that, he's going to begin to lift me to that place where I begin to see what he's seeing. And it was quite cool. So it was actually the week before Liana preached her thing about praying in the Spirit. And I've begun to do that. And it's incredible the things that have begun to change. Some of the things are things which I'm seeing in the natural. Other things are things which actually just shifted in my heart. So much has shifted in my heart because my heart is becoming aligned back into that place of being in that heavenly place of Christ and seeing what he's seeing and seeing what God's seeing. And my faith is so stirred. I'm so full. And just because I'm just getting aligned with where God is and just beginning to see just glimpses of what he's seeing. And I know I won't see everything that he's seeing. But it's just getting to that place. I'm not looking from down here, just looking at what I see on the earth. There's just so many adventures that just await for us. I'll just share another testimony before we finish off. Another thing is just worked with me recently. I was in frustration. I've had a lot of frustrations recently, but God is so faithful. God is so faithful. He uses our frustrations to shape us and mold us and build our faith and draw us closer to him. Because I say this again, guys, we get ourselves so stuck when we get focused on the results. We must get focused on God. God is so in control. He's more in control than we can even begin to imagine. Okay? And I was like having a little moment. And then the Lord said to me, what I need to do is the young people that he's given me to steward, what I need to do is I need to take their names, I need to write them all down, and I need to write a prayer in which I pray for just over their lives, over their destinies, and praying protection over them, over their futures, and what the Lord has called them to, praying for their salvation. And I wrote this, and he said, you've got to go stick it in your wall closet. I've got a closet at home. It's a wall closet. We don't even have space for a whole room. And I just go stick it in my wall closet. And every night I need to actually pray over them by name, each one, and pray this prayer over their lives. And it really shifted my heart. And I went and I did it. And I began to do it. And funnily enough, again, the first thing that began to change was my heart shifted. And I'm noticing some, and now I'm actually starting to notice many things beginning to manifest in the natural. But again, my heart has so changed towards them. And it's just from that place of, it seems like, oh, right, is that going to do anything? What is that? Just the little things, no matter what it is that God's showing you, just do it. Just do it. And then watch what he does in your heart and watch what he begins to manifest after that. So it's really just that place of living from the Spirit and from where God is and from where God sees. I love it. Barry's like it. Oh, Barry so blessed me on Friday night. You mind if I share, Barry? I know you don't mind. Like, he phones me Friday evening, 6 o'clock from Rhodes Mem. He says, Kathleen, I'm here at Rhodes Mem, and I just want to share with you. I just felt to shout the name of Jesus loud. So I did it. and it just so blessed the socks of me. Just those simple steps of obedience. And that's the thing that I think delights the Lord's heart so much. And it's just that place of just living. I'm not just going for a sunset ride up to Rhodes Mem. My heart is connected to the Lord. And I can feel him saying, this is what I must do now. And it's not even a matter of thinking about, is it a good thing to do or a bad thing to do? It's the overflow of the Lord's heart. Just that it just explodes out of you. And it's just such honor for that, Baz. You're such a legend. Okay. I want to close off just to the scripture, and then we're going to watch a little video where I really want to just engage your imaginations. The Lord has really given us imagination that we can see to help us, to help our faith. And I think I don't know why we sometimes make the imagination out to be a bad thing. He's really given us it to help us that we can see what we're standing in faith for. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 25, and I want to leave this with you as an encouragement to stay in this race, no matter what strange things happen or how hectic it might get. Just stay. Enjoy the adventure. Okay, you have to see it as an adventure. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is not seen, but hope that is seen is not hope. Okay, that's when we just rely on what we see in the natural. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So I just want to encourage you to continue to wait, to stay with what God's doing. In this new season, just stay. If you do nothing else, just stay. All right. You don't have to stay. Yeah, the Lord calls you to the Middle East. Go, but stay connected to his body. Stay connected to what he's doing. To what he's doing. He's in control. He's crazy in control. And I just want to, I'm going to show a little clip now. I said, and what I want you to do is when you watch this, don't just see this as a race. I want you to, in your imagination, see the nations standing there, poised, ready. The creation's waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Okay, the nations are standing there ready. They're ready. They are so ready. Okay, I know you hear it over and over again, but guys, just stay with what God's doing, okay? And as those people are released, I want you to see it. That's the lost being released into the kingdom to begin to run the race that you're already running. And what I really want you to take note of, especially in this, is the people along the side, the people that are cheering, the people that are giving refreshments, the people that are high-fiving. Okay, because that is us, that is his church, that he's preparing for when that revival comes, to be there, to cheer the people on, to cheer the disciples on, to cheer, to support, to encourage. Okay? And it's so exciting. We can be part of what he's doing, that we can be part of the race, we can be part of those that are going to start this race anew. Just like we did, some of us a week ago, some of us years ago. Okay? And just as others cheered us on and continue to cheer us on in discipleship, we're going to have that opportunity to cheer them on. Okay, so enjoy the little clip, and then I'll hand over. Come running into heaven on that last day to sit at the table. And many of those people that will be coming in there will be people that you and I have prayed for. And they're going to have made it. We're going to make it because people are praying for us. And many of them are going to make it because we faithfully prayed. And we've stayed. We've stayed along their side. So I really just want to encourage you, just keep at it. Just keep going. Okay, so let's just stand and before I hand over to Johanna, I just want to pray for us.